Radio Prague News. General practitioners are once again threatening to strike in protest of delayed payments from the largest health insurance company, VZP. Three young Germans have been handed lengthy jail sentences for the kidnapping, rape and murder of a prostitute in the Czech Republic. And the chief obstetrician of a maternity hospital stands charged with causing death through negligence after turning away a woman in labour. General practitioners are once again threatening to strike in protest of delayed payments from the largest health insurance company, VZP. GPs say they're getting payments up to a month late, despite the fact that the general health insurance company is under forced administration, a move that the health minister David Rad said would secure financial stability. The health ministry is likewise under pressure from chemists who are threatening to strike over the government's decision to lower their profit margins by 3% as of January 1st. The opposition Civic Democrats have strongly criticised the health minister for his performance in office, saying that the radical measures he has effected have merely heightened the crisis in the Czech health sector. Three young Germans of Russian origin have been handed lengthy jail sentences for the kidnapping, rape and murder of a prostitute in the Czech Republic. The regional court in the southern German city of Heilbronn found that the three men had planned to sell the sex worker from the Czech border city of Plzeň to a brothel in Germany. The judges said the leader of the group hatched the plot because he was €30,000 in debt. They raped and killed the 37-year-old woman after failing to beat her into submission for fear that she would report them to the police. Two of them received life sentences. The third was handed a 15-year prison sentence. The chief obstetrician of a maternity hospital stands charged with causing death through negligence after he ordered the transfer of a mother in labour to a different hospital where her baby was born stillborn. The state attorney on the case claims that a proper examination of the mother, including an ultrasound, would have shown that she needed immediate care and that further loss of time would put hers and the baby's life in danger. If found guilty, the obstetrician could face up to 5 years in prison. Lower House Deputy Vladimir Doležal of the Civic Democratic Party has given up his mandate and all his political functions over allegations of bribery. The police suspect Doležal of having asked for a large sum of money in return for a promise to clear the way for construction on municipal plots after a special commission had rejected the project. Doležal claims that he is innocent and he's stepping down so as not to damage his party's interests ahead of the 2006 general election. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Wednesday is expected to be partly cloudy with day temperatures between 1 and minus 3 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague's English language service. I'm Dita Asiedu, and today, Czech Invest secures a record number of investments. The only Czech Nobel Prize winner for literature died 20 years ago, and yet the country still lacks a publication of his collected works. And we hear from Jeremy Rifkin, dubbed by Time magazine as the most hated man in science. This and more up next. The state agency for attracting investment, Czech Invest, had some very good news on Monday. Last year, the agency secured a record number of investments worth a total of over $3 billion. And if a deal to build a huge Hyundai car plant in Moravia comes to fruition, this year could be even better. Czech Invest spokeswoman Alžběta Honcová discussed the figures for 2005 with Ian Willoughby.
The number of investment, I mean the $3.2 billion, is higher, but it's not as a big difference. And we predict that the number of projects may be still around this year's figures, but the total number of investment mediated through Czech Invest, of course, will be about the same or a little lower.
Were there fears, or have there been fears, that some foreign investors would, as this country's labor costs increase, would begin to look elsewhere to cheaper countries?
That's an interesting point that was mentioned by our CEO yesterday, that although the costs of labor and social payments, etc., are increasing and will increase, this is not the main obstacle for a new investment. And also we are interested in the kind of investment that are not based on the cheap labor force. The fact that the figures are so good this year, it also supports our prediction about the new investment that will not be based on this cheap labor force. And we hope we will attract more investment that will come to the Czech Republic because of the location, because of the infrastructure, and because of the good level of skills of our people.
Last year, you mediated over 150 investments, over $3 billion worth. How much of that money is from abroad? Is it all foreign investment, or is some of it Czech investment?
On the list of investment ranked by countries, you can see that on the second place there are companies that are based in the Czech Republic.
Well, your figures for last year are very healthy. Do you think they can be maintained?
It's depends also on the fact if we will be successful in achieving the Hyundai investment. So this, if we succeed, this might be, the next year might be even, the number might be even higher. But in the long term, I think we will decrease a little bit in the amount of investment, because it will be mainly medium-sized and smaller companies.
About Hyundai, there's been a lot of talk about this deal. It would have a huge impact on the Czech economy even, and 3,000 direct jobs and many more jobs besides in Moravia would be created. At the moment, I believe, there's a Czech delegation in South Korea talking to Hyundai's bosses, and a decision is due by the end of this month. How confident are you that Hyundai will, in the end, choose to invest in this country?
I will quote our CEO, who's been very optimistic about it, and he says he believes that the Czech Republic has very high potential for this investment.
Czech Invest spokeswoman Alžběta Honcová. Prague court officials have just freed on health grounds an old-aged pensioner who, after losing millions in a Nigerian investment scam, killed an official at the country's embassy. And if this tragic story wasn't unusual enough, it turns out that the freshly released Jiří Pasovský, a doctor by profession, is a man with a most colourful past. Ian Willoughby has the remarkable story.
Jiří Pasovský was tricked out of $600,000, much of it borrowed, by con artists who claimed to represent the Nigerian National Petroleum Company. He thought he was putting his money into a lucrative oil deal. Mr. Pasovský then tried to enlist the help of the Nigerian government in getting his money back. In February 2003, a meeting at the country's embassy in Prague reportedly turned into a heated argument, during which he pulled out a gun and shot dead Consul Michael Wei, who was 50, and injured his secretary. The 74-year-old retired doctor from Mělník in central Bohemia was initially ruled insane. He was ordered to undergo psychiatric treatment before being set free. Mr. Pasovsky's release sparked a row between Nigeria and the Czech Republic, which eventually led to his case being reopened. This time he ended up receiving a 5-year prison term. But Jiří Pasovský is suffering from cancer and other illnesses, and on Monday the public prosecutor confirmed a ruling by Prague City Court under which his sentence was commuted. But that's just half the story. Following his arrest, it transpired that the pensioner had a most colourful history. While working as a Czech army doctor in the 1960s, he was also an agent of the STB secret police and managed to infiltrate US intelligence agency the CIA while based in the Afghan city of Kabul, the Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes reported. The Daily said he even passed a CIA lie detector. Mr. Pasovsky reported on the activities of the US Embassy in Kabul, passing on information about Czechs who had sounded out the possibility of defecting. He said to have worked as a spy for ideological reasons, but was also paid.
Ian Willoughby with that report.
Viděl jsem hory plné ledu, však zpívat o nich nedovedu. Jiskřily dálky nad hlavami, jak bledě modré drahokamy, jímala závrať při pohledu. Zpívat však o nich nedovedu.
The voice there of Czech poet Jaroslav Seifert. And this week, the Czech Republic is marking the 20th anniversary of his death. Jaroslav Seifert is the only Czech Nobel Prize winner for literature. An ardent communist in his youth, Seifert later fell from favor with the post-war communist authorities and was blacklisted several times, finally after signing the Charter 77 Human Rights Manifesto. When in 1984 Jaroslav Seifert was awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature, the communist authorities begrudgingly published his works again, albeit in a censored version. But 16 years after the fall of communism and 20 years after his death, Jaroslav Seifert's collected works remain published. Pavla Horáková has more.
Prague's busy Seifertova Street in the former working-class suburb of Žižkov, not far from the building where the poet was born in 1901. Influenced by the poor urban environment, Seifert joined the Communist Party in 1921, only to be expelled from it 8 years later for his criticism of its Bolshevik tendencies. Jaroslav Seifert was a prolific writer, and his career spanned 60 years and several styles, from proletarian poetry to the playful avant-garde, to poems celebrating women and love, to more serious verses dedicated to his homeland. Here are a couple of lines from a 1925 avant-garde collection on the waves of TSF.
Forever running are the clock and the thief. Poetry is the art of losing precious time. Better to seek eternal verities and heed my warning, words of advice.
Previous attempts at publishing Seifert's collected works were tainted by censorship and finally failed when the publishing house went bankrupt in the 1990s. Now, publisher Jiří Tomáš, in cooperation with literary historians, is hoping to be the one to bring the ambitious project to a successful end.
My vlastně jsme třetí jako pokus o Seifertovy spisy, dali jsme si za cíl.
We aim to publish not just collections of poems, but also poems printed in magazines, his translations and lyrics for plays and films. We'd also like to include selected correspondence and essays. For the first time ever, certain pieces are being published as Seifert wrote them, uncensored.
Napsal, to znamená, že do jejich tehdejšího oficiálního vydání zasáhla cenzura.
Jiří Tomáš's publishing house has so far brought out 10 out of the intended 17 volumes, but the edition has now been put on hold.
No, neříká se mi to lehce, ale je to samozřejmě z důvodu finančních.
Sadly, it's for financial reasons. The 10 volumes in print include 29 collections, that's 3,200 pages. It's now the largest edition of Seifert's work so far, and we are 700,000 crowns in the red.
Se ještě koupili něco, aby jsme v tom mohli pokračovat.
Opinions differ on the subject of Jaroslav Seifert's qualities as a poet. He is sometimes seen as a lightweight poet, not exactly the strongest voice of his generation. There are even some who say Seifert was awarded the Nobel Prize for political reasons rather than artistic merit. But he remains dear to generations of Czechs who above all treasure his love poetry.
Thanks very much, Pavla, for that. If you're a lover of ballet, then on Wednesday evening, Prague will be the place to be. The State Opera will be hosting a star-studded international ballet gala featuring 20 top dancers from around the world. They include stars of the Paris Opera, the New York City Ballet, the Berlin State Opera, or the Bolshoi in Moscow, to name just a few. And most will have never danced in Prague before. And the gala will include classics like Tchaikovsky, whom we've just been hearing, but there'll also be more modern and experimental work, like that of the contemporary Brazilian composer Milton Nascimento. A short while ago, David Vaughan spoke to the director of the project, Jana Kurova.
We are very happy that we can welcome these principal dancers here in Prague.
And what's the idea behind getting them all together here to perform in Prague?
We would like to show the people the different faces of ballet art. So we would like to produce classical works, also neoclassical, and of course modern.
So these are going to be, in a sense, extracts of various choreographies around the world that are performing at the moment.
Yeah, so it is different fragments. For example, classical ballet performances, there is pas de deux or duet, and from modern things are special fragments or special solo. Also, we have very nice solo for music Chuck Brel, and choreography is Ben van Kavenberg.
And tell me, you've been obviously extremely busy putting it all together. What, for you, will be the highlight?
For me, it is so important to show good works for new generation, for young people, and it is nice if they can see the best of the ballet world at present.
And do you think that ballet is appreciated as much as it should be here in the Czech Republic?
I think the ballet has history, of course, but if I can compare abroad, it is much more better. But I would like to do only small step to help the young people, because, for example, in France, in US, in England, the conditions are different.
David Vaughan was speaking to the director of the company, the International Ballet Prague, Jana Kurova, about a ballet gala which will be held at Prague State Opera on Wednesday evening. And in case you've just tuned in, you're listening to Radio Prague, where it's time now for Talking Point.
Especially here in the Czech Republic, there's been quite a bit of attention focused on America and wanting the American dream and the American way of life and the American economic system. And what I'm here to say is be careful what you ask for. That dream was robust until the 1960s. We were the most egalitarian society in the world. But what the Czech people need to understand is our dreams unraveled in the last 40 years. The U.S. now ranks 24th among industrial countries in income disparity, the gap between the very rich and poor. Only Mexico and Russia rank lower. And when you saw those pictures of the poor black people in New Orleans in their shanties, that's not just New Orleans. That's one out of every four Americans.
Jeremy Rifkin is one of the most controversial American academics. The economist, philosopher, university professor and writer has published 17 books on the impact of scientific and technological changes on the economy, and has also been advisor to many European politicians, including the former EU Commission president Romano Prodi. David Vaughan caught up with him when he came to Prague towards the end of last year to plug the Czech edition of his newest book, The European Dream, subtitled How Europe's Vision of the Future is Quietly Eclipsing the American Dream.
Here in Europe, a new dream's emerging. It's still weak, but it's a complete opposite of our dream. And nowhere, I think, does it have more potential than here in the Czech Republic. If our dream in America is the individual ability to make money, in Europe, the dream is good quality of life, which is a community exercise. And I think that the younger generation of Europeans, if I were to say what is their dream, I would say was this. Inclusivity, no one should be totally abandoned by society. A belief in multicultural diversity. A belief in sustainable development. The earth counts and we have to protect the environment. A belief in social rights and human rights. A belief in balancing work and play. and a belief in peace. But I think the reason I'm so interested in the Czech society is that the Czech young people seem to be a bridge between the American dream and the European dream. On the one hand, after years of victimization at the hands of outside forces, now the young Czech people say, we want individual opportunity. I want to be able to get ahead. On the other hand, you have a deeper tradition here in the Czech Republic of communal solidarity.
It's very much the cultural level. I mean, politically, Europe is very divided. It's very fragmented. If you look from a Czech perspective, for example, in the years just after the fall of communism, it was the United States that took the lead in trying to draw this country back into the family of Western nations. Yes. While Europe was confused, there was a lot of naval contemplating, and this seems to be continuing at the moment. You can understand why the Czech president, Mr. Klaus, is rather skeptical about the process of integration of Europe, can't you?
You know, everyone's confused about Europe. I spent time with heads of state, I spent time in Brussels, and nobody really knows what the EU is. Why? It's bizarre. It's a work in process. You know, every other empire and kingdom and nation in history has been born in violence and coercion and revolution and seizing people and territories, even the great democratic revolutions. The EU is counterintuitive. It's based on the defeated in World War II coming together and saying never again. 2,000 years of bloodshed, two world wars, a Holocaust, and your parents' generation said, we're going to put down the sword and try to create a new way of governing based on reciprocity and peace. Now, it's justifiable if people are confused, if people are a little bit frustrated, but this is the next great political experiment in the human journey, and it ought to be supported.
Obviously, Czech historical experience plays quite a role, a strong role in the I suppose, above-average degree of Euroscepticism in this country. I think there is a strong sense of being let down by big powers, by real political interests, and being let down by national political interests, and not wanting that to happen again. I think there's a very strong degree of skepticism that kind of bureaucratic, let's say, democracy, committee decision-making can really stand up to those in the world who are trying in whatever ways politically or economically to dominate.
It's quite understandable. If I were Czech, I'd feel the same way. On the other hand, the opportunity now here for the Czech Republic to be part of a larger space and to thrive and prosper is great. What I would ask every Czech citizen is this. Do you think the future prosperity of your children and your grandchildren rests on going back into the little national state container, 19th century idea, or integrating out and becoming seamless with an entire European continent, with the European Union? Let's take a look at key industries. They're huge here. You lead in the banking industry. You lead in insurance. You lead in aerospace with Airbus. You lead in construction, chemical, engineering. You lead in food, wholesale, retail. Yes, you have more people, but you are a big superpower. Am I saying America is not a superpower? Of course it is. And am I saying America's number two? No. But to believe that Europe is falling apart and America is thriving is not a reality. If I'm right or wrong, there's a test here. The currency. Why is the dollar continuing to be devalued against the euro?
I have the impression that one of the problems here is that there's a lot of political talk about models. Politicians like to simplify things. President Bush likes to talk about a new Europe and an old Europe. You talk about the United States being no longer great. These are obviously, in some way, simplifications, yes. But in the fact that they are just
absolutely
phrases. And isn't there a danger in both the neoconservatives and in your own rhetoric, let's say, of simplifying what the reality on the ground is, well, that each country is kind of juggling with a lot of different economic and social factors and trying to find a kind of middle ground that will make everybody, or as many people as possible, happy and not leave too many people falling through the net.
I agree. And, of course, it's hard in sound bites on a radio interview to do this. That's why I wrote a book that's 450 pages long and pretty detailed and pretty deep. I wrote a piece in my World column last month on the question of the social economy model versus the capitalist market model. And what I said is this new debate in Europe, do we maintain a kind of socialist democracy model or go to an American market model, is the wrong debate. It polarizes. The fact is, what we should be asking is, what does socialism do well and what is its weakness? What does capitalism do well and what is its weakness? Use the strength of one ideology to be the antidote to the weakness of the other. There is an alternative for Europe. I think there's an alternative model. And the Czech Republic would be in an ideal position to help lead it in terms of moral leadership. You have a golden goose. It's called the integration of the biggest commercial market in the world, from the Irish Sea to Russia, the EU. You should have a seamless transportation grid, power grid, energy and communication grid across Europe in 20 years, 15 hopefully. You should have a single set of policies on capital and labor flows in 10 years. You should have English as lingua franca in 20 years. So if you can engage in business with the same ease that we do across our 50 states, you have a bigger market. You can grow your economy sustainably, streamline your net because you have too much dependency on this. But the Scandinavian countries have shown you can streamline but keep your social economy and still build the market. That's, I think, the mission in Europe. Get on with the task of integrating the transnational space so the Czech people can maintain their diversity, build on their prosperity, and be part of a larger mission, and that is be part of Europe.
And you were listening to Talking Point, in which David Vaughan was speaking to U.S. economist, philosopher, university professor and writer Jeremy Rifkin about his book, The European Dream. And we've reached the end of this Radio Prague program. We hope you enjoyed it and will tune in for more from Radio Prague soon. For a review of our older programs, visit our website, where you'll find most of our reports transcribed and available in sound, www.radio.cz/English. My name's Ita Asiru. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 8h30, 8h57. Europe, 9860, 11600. 17h30, 17h57. Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 15710. 19h30, 19h57. Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 9430, 23h, 23h27. Amérique du Nord, 5930, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.